Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, November 2nd. Today, a conversation with business reporter Tamara Chung to discuss how Colorado plans to cover 99% of the state with super-fast internet, funded by approximately $1 billion. Before we continue, a message from our sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. The Spanish influenza beset the planet in 1918. Although the strain of flu likely originated in Kansas, it traveled the globe rapidly as World War I raged and earned its name after hitting Spain early and hard. No Colorado community, and perhaps no American town, suffered from the influenza more than Silverton, high in the San Juan Mountains. On this date in 1918, as the epidemic built to a crescendo, the Silverton Standard tallied 128 deaths and perhaps as many as 600 additional cases reported, a toll roughly equal to half the town's population. Influenza first appeared in the state in September 1918 at the University of Colorado, where military students contracted the disease. Doctors from Fort Logan and Washington, D.C. attempted to contain the epidemic, but largely failed. Health officials in Denver demanded that people in regular contact with others, clerks, delivery men, grocers, and so on, wear surgical masks to limit the contagion. Customers shied away from stores, which hesitated to put on sales for fear of spreading disease. Some colleges quarantined their campuses and placed themselves under the control of the American Red Cross, and many public schools closed completely for a time. The disease raged statewide. Mountain towns with scant medical facilities saw particularly high rates of disease. And between the fall of 1918 and summer of 1919, Colorado lost 7,783 residents to influenza and tallied nearly 50,000 cases. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Health Insurance Headaches, virtually on November 16th from 6 to 7 p.m. Health reporter John Ingold will talk with experts about different Colorado health insurance options, shopping tips, and more. Registration is free and available at coloradosun.com/events. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. And I'm grateful to be here with Tamara, our business reporter. Welcome back, Tamara.
Thanks, Carol.
You have a great story on coloradosun.com today. You always have great stories, but this one really captured my attention. And it's on how Colorado plans to cover 99% of our state with super fast internet. So I was hoping that we could talk a little bit about, you know, where does the money come from and how the state will disperse that money and just how the program's going to work.
So Colorado is pretty advanced, actually. I've been covering broadband access in the state for several years now. And, you know, definitely since, you know, maybe 2018, you know, just before the pandemic, you know, cities like Denver, for example, you know, when it came to broadband access, it was like 99.5% of the population was covered. So what that means is people who live in Denver can get high-speed internet, right? And, you know, definitely faster than what the Federal Communications Commission standard is, which is 25 megabits download speeds and 3 megabits up. But statewide, it was sort of a different story. And Governor Polis and past governors had focused on the rural population. So the rural population has been a lot lower than the rest of the state. But even up until last year, some of the reports I was hearing from the Colorado Broadband Office was that rural Colorado was up to, I think, like 91 or 92% covered. So that seems pretty high, but there were problems with the data. So anyway, you asked me about the funding, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like around $1 billion, right?
Yes. So if you got to look at it this way, though. So during the pandemic, a lot of people realized how reliant the community was on the internet, and not just the internet, but fast internet, because, you know, you can't have a Zoom call, you can't do remote learning unless you had good internet access and fast internet access. So you could have a whole classroom of kids interacting with their teacher. So because of situations like that, and telemedicine, for example, is another one, Congress at the federal level, they passed different acts that provided more funding to help with the infrastructure, to build better pipes of internet to get to rural areas, and also create some new programs to train people on how to use technology and access the internet and stuff like that. So with the American Rescue Plan and the Infrastructure Act, there's around like $400 to $500 to $700 million just for Colorado. And then you add on other acts and other programs and existing programs like the USDA Reconnect program, you know, the count is around, you know, $1 billion in funding for Colorado, just for Colorado, to improve its broadband and internet access to the rest of the state.
Yeah, it's an astounding amount of money. And so the Colorado Broadband Office will disperse this money. And do the individual counties have to apply for it? Or what's the metric going to be for who gets what money?
Yeah, so the Broadband Office doesn't necessarily disperse it. They are sort of this overseer that is just put this huge plan together. And this is kind of what I'm reporting about today. It's called the Colorado Broadband Roadmap. And it's a breakdown of here's all the different types of funding the state has received or has applied for. Here's where it needs to go. Here's what we need to do to create grants, for example. So one part of this is going to go to the Department of Local Affairs, which, you know, already provides grants today to communities, like municipalities that need better internet, but it's more on the infrastructure side. So it's not like your ISP, like Comcast or Starlink, for example. It's the cities that need to build these pipes, or the contractors that will build these middle mile pipes that will get to the town's premises, and then internet service providers can tap into that and offer service. So there's these grants available.
Okay, thank you. So is this where kind of the importance of fiber internet comes into play? Are these pipes going to be to run fiber cables or fiber internet?
So fiber is talking about fiber optic cables. And these are the cables that basically data can travel super fast through them, through, you know, kind of like the speed of light. And well, not the speed of light, but like a gigabit per second. I mean, for a lot of people, you know, if you're getting 100 megabits at home, you're probably fine with it. You know, your Netflix and might be choppy, especially if you have five people in the family trying to do different things. But that's how the system is today. You know, if you are a family living off streaming internet, you know, you need 100 megabits or really much faster than that. But anyway, talking about fiber, is this is a physical cable. So it's been super expensive to lay cables like that, fiber cables in the ground. But, you know, the result of it is the customers get really fast internet. So fiber has been used for decades, but a lot of people didn't have it 10 years ago because, you know, companies don't want to dig up streets. They don't want to dig up holes to your house or within communities, through mountains, through rocks, everything like that. So it's really expensive to lay down. And that's why a lot of, especially rural Colorado, does not have it.
Super interesting. And, you know, prior to moving back to the heart of Denver, I lived in a very rural part of the state in northeastern Weld County. And we had internet problems up there. And then I think about when we as Colorado Sun colleagues have a Zoom, you know, we have some of our reporters and colleagues who live and report from the Western Slope and from the mountains. Sometimes they have to have their video off, say up in the Eagle Valley, because of internet issues. And so it sounds like, you know, if we have these experiences and you just multiply that by teachers, by students, by medical providers. And one of the things too that I love about your story is there's a great chart in there, as you often put together, about parts of the state without reliable internet. And it's a pretty big portion of the state. So I hope people get a chance to go look at this story today at coloradosun.com and just really see how much of Colorado does not have extremely reliable internet right now.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I would say about the chart is it's showing 166,000 households in Colorado that don't have internet or are underserved. And keep in mind that this definition has changed, at least for this Colorado broadband roadmap. I earlier said that the FCC considers fast internet 25 down and 3 up. This is a definition that was used, you know, almost 10 years ago. So, you know, the state has decided, you know, no, it's got to be much faster. So not being served or being underserved is anyone who's getting less than 100 megabits per second down and 20 megabits up. So that's a huge bar that has changed, you know, who has access and who doesn't. But the plan for Colorado is that they're trying to get everybody above 100 megabits. And that's sort of to future-proof the technology. So in 5 years, when this is all still being built out, people will still be getting what is considered fast internet.
It's really fascinating. You mentioned the FCC has been tracking this. Are neighboring states or comparable, are there other states that are comparable to Colorado in this, or do we have accurate metrics for that at this point?
I don't have that off the top of my head. I am not quite sure where Colorado stands compared to other states, but what is out there, the FCC broadband maps have been kind of inaccurate. And that's partly because of the tools they were using. You know, they use the census. And in the census, if one person says they have fast internet or broadband internet, one person in a census tract, the census counts all of them. It, you know, the whole community is having internet when, you know, that may not be physically true. So the thing is, the FCC knows this and it's been changing its whole system. They spent 18 months researching how to do this. And now they have a better way for better location level data on who actually has fast internet and who doesn't. And some of those new maps should be coming out this month, at least a draft of the map. So I will be looking for those as well, because that will be interesting to see where we all stand.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for following it for us. And thanks to everyone who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners, Pirate Audio. And have a wonderful day out there, everybody. I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily SUNUP podcast. And if you have any questions, drop us an email at podcast@coloradosun.com.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A new partnership created to buy a 700-acre-foot reservoir in southern Colorado could be a model for other water-challenged communities. The San Luis Valley Water Conservancy District needed more storage. The Bureau of Land Management needed water rights to restore wetlands downstream. With the help of the National Environmental Nonprofit Conservation Fund, they bought Shaw Reservoir from a group of local farmers who had been maintaining it for decades as a supplemental irrigation supply. One bonus in the deal is that the reservoir will remain open as a public fishing hole. When Governor Jared Polis campaigned for his first term, he promised to shut down Colorado's private prisons. But 4 years later, two private prisons remain open. It's among several unkept promises by Polis as he campaigns for a second term, as documented by the Colorado Sun's Polis Promise Tracker. The governor also fell short of overhauling how public schools are funded. He's delivered on numerous promises, including introducing full-day kindergarten and 10 hours of free preschool for every child in Colorado, which starts next year. The Sun has kept tabs on more than 100 Polis promises so far. The Colorado Public Utilities Commission wants Xcel Energy to revisit the rates it pays to homeowners who sell the utility their excess solar energy. The problem is that Xcel is paying 8 cents an hour to people who sell unused solar energy, but charging nearly double that rate, 17 cents an hour, to customers who use it. Xcel blames a lack of smart meters in its grid and says it won't have enough smart meters to properly credit homeowners until 2023. The PUC could ask the utility to compensate people for their losses until the utility updates its infrastructure. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. all three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.